part of the leader, the part of the team leader. So in this little series that we've been doing through True Grit on team, I want to focus a little bit on the team leader. We don't have a huge amount of time tonight because there's a huge amount that could be said and a huge amount has been written around leadership. But I want to touch on some things just to kind of whet our appetite and for us to consider and to think about. Let me just remind you that the reason why we're doing this team series is because teams are all around us, aren't they? In life, teams are all around us. You might say a family is a team in a sense. Any small group or community of people that gather together can be a team. We have teams at work, we have teams in church. EBC, Eastleigh Baptist Church, is very much built on teams. We want to work in teams. Sometimes there are individuals who do particular things, but on the whole, we work in teams. And teams working well can make it or they can break it, can't they? You know, there are probably examples in our lives when we can think of being part of a team when it didn't go very well. And I've probably mentioned the football team that I used to play for then. Very rarely won. Very rarely won. It was great when we did, but very rarely. And we weren't a great team. But then there are other teams, and hopefully some of you have been involved with some teams that have been really successful. And you've made it. It's made a big difference. I believe in teamwork. I believe in groups of people working together. And for me, but also I think for the Bible, teams are relational. It's about relating to each other. And because they're relational, they're also missional. And how we work together is just as important as why we work together. The how of work, how we work. It's no good being a great team, but everyone falling out. I mean, to me, that's not really a good team. A great team is also about how we relate together and work through the issues that we have to face and the purposes that are before us. But one of the key parts of that teamwork is actually the team leader. And whether there's a formal team leader or an informal team leader, there is probably a team leader. I mean, if you think of different contexts or situations that you've been in, when there hasn't been a team leader, probably someone emerges after a period of time to be the leader. No one ever said, you're the leader, but they just happen to become the leader. Or actually, maybe there's a period of a situation that you've been through with a group of people, and as you come out the back of it, you look back and think, actually, yeah, that person led. We didn't ask them to lead, they just led. So sometimes you have informal leaders, don't you, that lead the team. But sometimes you have formal leaders, that they're recognized leaders. They're people that we say, yes, we recognize their gifts, their skills, and their ability, and we ask them to be the team leader. And to me, it doesn't really matter whether it's formal or informal. Leadership is absolutely central, absolutely crucial. To actually have someone that is, or it might not, might be a group of people, but to recognize that there is leadership is actually a good thing. And the Bible actually says that this is not a bad thing at all. This is a good thing. 1 Timothy 3, here is a trustworthy saying, says Paul to Timothy, whoever aspires to be an overseer or a leader, if you want, desires a noble task. I like that term, a noble task. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be a leader. It's a good thing to aspire to be a leader. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I mean, Paul says to us, aspire to have the great gifts that God has given us. And if leadership is one of those gifts, then we should. There's no reason why we shouldn't aspire to that. It's good to have leadership, and it's good to recognize leadership. But we need to recognize that leadership is for the benefit of the whole body. That's why I wanted to go back to that Ephesians 4 passage. It's for the benefit of the whole body. It's not for the benefit of the leader. And this is probably one of the weaknesses of team leadership. When a team serves the leader rather than the leader serving the team. And you probably can think of a whole load of situations and scenarios where the leader has used the team as a platform to climb on and say, look at me, aren't I great? When actually what they should have been doing is actually lifting the team up so the team can actually fulfill its purposes. But leadership is still key. So here's a few quotes for you that I think Steve is going to put up on the board for us. And the first one is, bless him, from Bill Hybels. You may have heard this quote many, many times. But Bill Hybels has said this many times, and many people have quoted him. Everyone wins when a leader gets better. And what he means by that is actually when the leader gets better, if the leader is leading in a good way, it actually helps the whole body to get better. John Quincy Adams writes this. He was a president of the US, just in case you were wondering. He says, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. Doesn't matter whether you're formally a leader, but if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, become more, you are a leader. And actually, there's sometimes there are people that are leaders who just go say, yeah, okay, that's what God made me to be, and that's okay. This is my favorite quote, and I'll come back to this one later as well, by Jim Yong Kim. No matter how good you think you are as a leader, my goodness, the people around you will have all kinds of ideas of how you can get better. How true that is. So for me, he writes, the most fundamental thing about leadership is to have the humility to continue to get feedback and to try to get better. I'll come back to that part of the quote in a moment, but this is the part for this point. Because your job is to try to help everyone else get better. So the leader is not about themselves, and actually I think maybe leader is the wrong word in some ways, but the leader is about everyone else. It's about helping other people get better. Let me ask you a question, because I don't want you to sit there listening all the time. Actually, and I'm expecting you to engage now, okay? I would have got you in groups, but time is probably against us, so we're just going to do this openly. So you've got to be brave. So if I said to you, what type of team leadership styles have you come across? What kind of styles come to mind? Authoritarian. Thank you, Toby. Authoritarian leadership. He's talking. Sorry? Wishy-washy. Wishy-washy. Yeah. Wishy-washy leadership. Okay. No, it's all right. We're not analysing Eastleigh Baptist Church tonight. We're just talking about the general principle.
Divide and rule.
Okay. All right. Any others? Democratic. Got one more? Autocratic. Okay, great. Well, autocratic actually is my first one that is going to appear on here. Autocratic. Or instructional. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to actually give you four styles of leadership, then add a fifth, which I'm going to spend a lot more time on. Is autocratic leadership, instructional leadership, a good or a bad thing? If you think it's a good thing, put your hand up. If you think it's a bad thing, put your hand up. If you think it's both, put both hands up. Ah, oh, you load of cheats. Well, actually, you're right. For those who put both hands up, you're actually right. There are moments when autocratic leadership is absolutely crucial. You know, if there was a fire in this church at this point in time, and I said to you, folks, there's a fire, should we just gather around and just talk about what we should do? That wouldn't be good leadership, would it? Good leadership would be, get out! There's a fire! That would be good leadership. And there are moments, actually, scripturally, there are moments when there are imperative instructions given to the disciples of Jesus, and you could say that that person who gave those imperative instructions was being autocratic, instructional. I'll give you one, the best leader ever to have graced our world, Jesus, gave an imperative instruction to his disciples, of which he still does today to every disciple. And it's this instruction, follow me. Follow me. He didn't say, let's have a conversation about it. He just came and he said to them, drop that stuff, follow me. And he walked off and they followed him. So there are moments and times when autocratic leadership, instructional leadership is absolutely key. My second one is inclusive or consultative leadership. And so I think someone mentioned democratic, that kind of leadership. And we find this in Scripture as well. There are moments when there is very democratic, very inclusive leadership, particularly amongst the early church. Not always, but sometimes. And the Council of Jerusalem, found in Acts 15, is very much one of those occasions when there was a gathering together, lots of conversation, lots of listening to each other. And at the end of it, I love the way Luke records this. He says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And then they write this letter to Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, and to the believers there about how they should act out their Christian faith. And they've been grappling with that. But they came to that conclusion as a group of people. And that was kind of inclusive, consultational leadership. Third one is this, managerial leadership. Is managerial leadership a good or a bad thing? Well, actually, yeah, sometimes managerial leadership, organisational leadership, is absolutely key. And, you know, I'd be mad to be saying anything else because we've just put in place someone who actually has that role amongst us to be our operations manager, to be organised, to be administrative. And, of course, I mean, I was only preaching on this a little while ago, a few weeks ago on Acts 6, when the early deacons were called into leadership to be managerial, to be administrative, to be structural, so that the care of the widows could take place. So this is another style of leadership that occasionally, that's a good style of leadership if it's needed. Another one I want to mention is, which is I think is key as well, is visionary or visional leadership, inspirational leadership. And there's so many in Scripture that we could turn to as examples, but recently I've been reading through Joshua, and I think Joshua was an incredibly inspirational leader. He led the people across the River Jordan. He must have been a great leader to persuade them that God was right when he told them to march round the city for 7 days, and then on the seventh day to march round it seven times. I mean, if I was part of that clan, I'd be going, Joshua, you sure? What are you talking about, Joshua? You sure you heard from God? You're mad. Why do we keep trudging around this city, waiting for something to happen? But he must have been inspirational. But recently, I've just read his last kind of speech when they renewed the covenant at Shechem. And it's just a remarkable, and actually it's quite a negative speech in a sense. He says to the people of Israel, this is me paraphrasing, he says to the people of Israel, you know, we've got to serve God, but you're not good enough. You'll never be able to do it. But then he says this great line, and I love this line, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And all this, you know, you're not going to be able to make it, kind of star rhetoric really, inspires the people to echo back, no, we too will serve the Lord. We want to serve the Lord just as you do, Joshua. And so we get these different people, and there's others as well, that are very visionary, inspirational. And there are moments, is it not right? There are moments we want inspirational leaders. Do we not need inspirational leaders at this point in time within the challenges that we face across our country, but also Europe and even across our world? But we want good inspirational leaders. Those who are in tune with God, who hear what God is saying, and who are able to lead people forward. Now, all these four things, now I could have added others up there, but all these four things, these are kind of main styles of leadership. They're all good in their right place, aren't they? They're all good in their right place. But I'm talking about very close team leadership. So I want to add another one up there. It doesn't actually come up on that slide, but I want to talk a little bit and spend just the last 10 minutes talking about what I call enabling leadership. Enabling leadership. Leadership that actually looks at the people. Leadership that cares for the people. Leadership that values people. Leadership that encourages people. Leadership that develops people. Leadership that sees the gifts within people. And all these things that actually develops and enables a team to actually live. And I've got 9. I nearly made it 10, but I've got 9 things that I'm going to put up there fairly quickly, and then you can engage with these. I'll just say a few things as we whisk through them. Characteristics of enabling leadership. I think that passage that we looked at in Ephesians is all about enabling leadership. Now, I know it doesn't say leaders because it says pastors and teachers and evangelists and apostles, and it adds all these things together. But actually, I think all those things are about leadership, aren't they? All those gifts to the church are about leaders. And what is it all about? It's about equipping the church. It's about enabling the church and releasing people into ministry and service of Jesus Christ. So here's the first one. To be a team leader needs to believe in team. Now, I know that sounds silly, obvious perhaps, but it's not always. There are many team leaders who don't believe in team. They believe in the I, but they don't believe in the team, the people that make up the team. But to be a Christian enabler leader, you need to believe in team. Or you need to believe, if you want, I could put it a different way, in the principle of the priesthood of all believers. Not just believe it in your mouth, but believe it in your heart. That every person that sits in front of you, or every person that you meet, or you come alongside, that you believe God has a role for them. I love the way, Toby, you encouraged Jim this morning with the words that were given to Gideon. You know, Gideon and Jim maybe are two characters that perhaps looked at themselves and thought, God can't use me. But the person who believes in the priesthood of all believers will look at Gideon in the eye, or look at Jim in the eye, or any other person in the eye and says, God can use you and will use you and wants to use you. And that's got to be very much in the belly of the leader, of an enabler, a person who wants to enable people and teams and bring teams together, that they believe in each individual within the team. But not just that, but as these individuals come together, they connect together. And as they connect together with their different backgrounds, their different skills, their different personalities, their different perspectives, that actually the sum of that group is greater than the parts as they come together to believe in team. These probably all overlap because sometimes they do my points, but and number two is that they value and believe in others and their gifts. Now, why is that slightly different to this? There is an overlap for the first one. But it's very easy as a team leader to build a team of you. And I have seen this many times. In fact, actually, I probably can be accused of doing that kind of thing in the past. Where you just go around looking for people that you like. They're in tune with you. They see it your way. In your perspective, now that's not building a team, that's just building a group of buddies, a group of friends. And actually sometimes the worst teams are people that, you know, if you put a mirror in front of them, they're just all looking at each other, the same person, the same personality type, the same character, the same perspectives. So a team leader actually values people with gifts and skills that is different to them. That sees things in a different way. They have gifts that are very, very different to them. You know, sometimes people will confront me or we have a little kind of iron sharps iron moment. Do you know what that proverb, you know, as iron sharps iron, man sharpens man. So you have a moment people kind of disagree with me. And they may apologize. A few days later, they might ring me up and apologize. And I say, there's nothing to apologize for. It is good that you see it different. And it's good that I see it different, but because actually as we come together, it's not that we are fighting over this, it's that we're working it through in the Spirit of God. Yeah, sometimes it's a bit bumpy, and sometimes it can be done in a kinder fashion, but generally, it's important that we recognize we're different and celebrate in those differences. So a team leader needs to value and believe in others and their gifts. Number three, they need to encourage service. And I want to highlight encourage. I don't think we encourage enough. I've probably said that before, but I'm going to bang that drum to the end of my life. I don't think we encourage people enough. And a team leader needs to be an encourager. And actually, if you do a little research through scripture on encouragement, you find that word comes up much more than you probably think it does. But you've got to encourage people in service. So sometimes people are keen to serve. And when I say service, I mean serve the Lord. I don't mean just do something. I mean serve the Lord. But part of our worship is service. You know, one of our four S's in the Barnabas Network is service. You know, if you want to spiritually grow, if you ask that question of yourself, how do I spiritually grow? You will probably, many of you will say it's when I served. When I did something. When I stepped out and took a risk with God, that I actually discovered that I actually grew in Jesus Christ, because I didn't think I could do it. And then I discovered I couldn't do it, but he could. And a leader encourages people to take the risk, to step out, to go to that place of serving God. Number four, places an emphasis on community and relationship. And I think this is important, that it goes back to my point about team is not just about getting the job done, it's also about how we get the job done, particularly in church life. I think there may be other instances in life when actually it's just about getting the job done. And so you just hire the best people and you get the job done and tick the box and say, great, we did that. But in church life, it's not like that. It's not like that. The how of team is so important. How we care for each other. How we look after each other. How we look out for each other. How we support each other. How we live together. In all our differences and all our gifts and skills and personalities, is how we do that is just as important as the end result. And so I'd encourage us, or team leader really needs to have an emphasis on community and relationship and how that works. Number five, not only should they value and believe in the gifts, as I mentioned earlier, but they should have a gift of discerning gifts in others. Don't always get it right, but actually some of their time must be spent in prayer saying, Lord, what is the thing that this person should be doing? What is the thing that they can flourish in? What is the thing that you have put in their heart and their soul and in their life, in their DNA, that makes them tick? And how can we release them to use their gifts and skills? Number six is to recognize the importance of growth and accountability and development as well. But I was running out of space, so I took development out. But actually the development of two areas that are key to leadership. And the first one is this. Before you develop anyone else, a team leader needs to develop themselves. Can I take you back to the gym? I don't know if we can go back to the Jim Yong Kim quote, can we, Steve? I'll read it again for you. No matter how good you think you are as a leader, my goodness, the people around you will have all kinds of ideas of how you can get better. And the response to that is that's true. That is true. Each and every one of us can get better. And if we think, because I'm become the leader formally or informally, it doesn't really matter, that I've got it, I've worked it out, and therefore I'm going to tell everyone how to do it, we've made a huge error. I could think of a politician that might be falling into this situation, but I won't mention who they are at this point in time. But we can fall into that trap, can't we? But if we are a leader who actually recognises that we are still learning. And not only are we learning externally from our team, but we're learning internally within our team. We actually become a better and better leader, but also a better and better team, don't we? So recognizing the importance of development, but also the importance of developing our members in our team. If we are the leader, how can we support someone else to move forward and to get better at what they do? And training, growth, conversations, sitting down, reflecting, cups of coffee are all good for these kind of things. Let me move on. Number seven. A good team leader enables succession. Why is this important? I don't think when you're either given the role of a team leader or actually find yourself in team leader that the first minute you start thinking, well, who should succeed me? Now, that would be a bit strange, wouldn't it? I think you've got to get on with the task a little bit. But what you want to do, and I think I want to share this within the context of our church, and we are trying to encourage team leaders to do this, to think about who is following me in leadership, who is being developed, and particularly younger people. Can we encourage younger people into leadership so that they might become great leaders for God? And therefore, a good team leader will enable, recognize, see leadership in others and encourage that. It doesn't mean that person's going to succeed them, but what it means is that that person has been prepared for whatever leadership God might have for them in the future. And the greatest team leaders are the ones who are prepared and ready to step into the shadows and allow someone else to move ahead of them. Barnabas was such a person. We talk about Barnabas a lot, so I guess most of you know that Barnabas is the one who discovered Paul, who brought Paul to Antioch, who developed Paul, who took him on his first missionary journey. And then Luke does that switch. I forget which chapter it is, but there's a moment when it's always Barnabas and Paul, and then suddenly it becomes Paul and Barnabas. Can you imagine if you were Barnabas reading Acts for the first time? You know when you read something and you're looking for your name? You know, my name's in this somewhere. Are you not like that? Am I the only people like that? Where's my name? Where's my name? Am I recorded in this? And Barnabas is reading it thinking, oh yeah, this is great. You know, I've got a mention twice, three times. Fantastic. And then it's always Barnabas, Paul, and then suddenly Luke switches to Paul and Barnabas. If that was me, I'd be like, oh, shucks, that's not good. But I just sense Barnabas was actually one of these people that thought, praise God. Paul is now moving ahead, and I'm stepping into the shadows. And a good team leader is someone who's happy not to take all the glory, all the praise, but instead is happy for his team to be seen in that way. Number eight is good communication. To be a good team leader, enabler, is to communicate, to spend time listening mainly, but also communicating if there are instructions or their views or perspectives clearly and helpfully. That is not easy. I'm not going to say a great deal about that because that's, in a sense, a whole true grit subject on its own. That is not easy at all because people hear things that they don't hear or they shouldn't have heard, and people have different perspectives. But a good team leader will work time and time again. There are moments when, you know, I recognise I've tried to communicate something and then something happens and I'm thinking, oh, have I not communicated this? And a good team leader says to himself or herself, obviously not. So I'll go again. I'll go through the cycle of communication again with a smile on my face, ready, not with a grump and a groan. For goodness sake, don't you want to say that? I've sent you 6 emails about this. Have you not read them? Or to say, okay, let's just sit down and let's go through this again so we understand what is actually being said. And then lastly, and this is a difficult one, but a good team leader and enabler is someone who is able to say no, is able to say no. It is easy to say yes. It is so easy to say yes. But yes is not always the best for the person. Sometimes no is the best. You know, when someone wants to be something or do something that actually they're not gifted in, it is not right or good for a leader to actually put that person into that place. Not under, particularly in church life, it's not right. Under God, it's recognizing that actually that person doesn't have this gift, but we don't have the courage to say no. And so we allow that person just to go ahead. And sometimes, and this is one of the hardest things to do as a leader, and some of you have been in leadership, you might want to share some of your stories when you've had to say no and how it felt. It's one of the hardest things to do, but one of the best things to do is to say no. You know, you might be in an interview, and we've done a whole load of interviews recently in terms of our church. More about that next Sunday. And so some we've been able to say yes, and that's great. And to others, we've had to say no. We don't feel this is where God is leading you and where you should serve him. And that is difficult, but actually very important that the leader has the strength to say no. So I share those things as characteristics of enabling leadership to go alongside those other styles of leadership, autocratic, inclusive, managerial, and visional leadership. Let me be quiet for a moment and give you an opportunity, because there may be one or two out there that just want to share some of their own thoughts. I mean, that's not everything in leadership, because there have been many, many books, many, many seminars, many, many things said about leadership, but that's all I want to say tonight anyway. So anyone want to...